This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. League of Legends has released a pretty large patch with 8.7, and this patch includes a reworked character, changes to minions, and more. So joining me to go through this patch is Envin Global Esports Analyst James Hong. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
In patch 8.6, Ahari was rebalanced, but I didn't really see her a lot prior to the rebalance, and I don't see her a lot now. Do you know any reason why?
I think people are just not playing Ahri just because there's a lot easier and better champions out there that you can play in the mid lane. For example, if you do want to climb or get better at mid lane, it's a lot easier to play champions like Orianna, for example, or Syndra that can really dish out most of their damage from range. While Ahri, on the other hand, she's really revolved around going in up close and personal with whoever she wants to assassinate and then get out, which is really hard to execute in higher levels of play. So it really comes down to, do you really want to play Ahri, make it hard for yourself, and play it that way, or do you want to play someone who's a lot more easier to help your team out with? So I think that's pretty much the majority why we don't see a lot of Ahri these days.
What about the Conqueror rune? Has that been working out a lot for ADCs?
Unfortunately, not really, just because the Conqueror rune in itself is not that good. And on top of that, it's not really meant for ADCs, in my opinion. Just because the damage bonus stack that you gain from the rune is not refreshed while for ranged champions, actually, when you re-enter combat, and it only applies on melee attacks. So because of that huge issue, it's not really, you know, convincing for ADCs to really pick this rune. And on top of all this, other runes like Press the Attack, Lethal Tempo, and Fleet Footwork are just so much more better to take in lane phase or in team fight. So, yeah.
Do you think that was intentional or no? They're going to have to rework the Conqueror rune again.
I think it is intentional just because if the damage bonus stack did apply to range, it might be a little problematic on some range champions. So I think that's why they tweaked it in there. And I mean, it's fine to have a rune that is specifically for, let's just say, melee or specifically for range, right? It adds a lot of diversity to which path melees or ranged champions should take. So I think that's a very nice approach. And yeah, overall, I don't think the Conqueror rune is necessarily for ranged champions or more specifically ADC champions.
All right. Well, we all know 8.7 is coming out, and one of the biggest things for it is Aurelia's rework. Could you tell me a little bit about her original, how she played, and what they did to change her?
Essentially, with the original Aurelia, she was very one-dimensional. By one-dimensional, I mean her Q, W, and E all really were trying to accomplish the same thing. When you want to dash in with your W on, and once you dash in, you either stun or slow someone, right? And that's pretty much all Aurelia did. Of course, you can, you know, do some highlight outplays with a Q dashing everywhere, but that was only a once in a while. And with her ultimate, it really felt like she didn't really have a significant ultimate. It was just something to match her kit with, let's just say. And it didn't really feel like an ultimate. It didn't really give that, you know, that oomph or impact in. So that's how the original Aurelia was. And pretty much how they changed it was they put a lot of fluidity into her kit. By that, I mean they made her Q synergize really well with her passive, her E, her ultimate. Everything revolves with each other, which makes the champion feel very easy and very understanding to play in some sense.
Now, the storyline, did they do like a brand new storyline too?
For Aurelia, actually, they've kept most of the storyline intact because that is really how her identity as a champion and her whole dashing around with blades flying everywhere is. So they kept overall the essence of the story intact.
Okay, cool. Usually they change that. With Aurelia, I know she was a top laner, but do you think with her rework that she's going to be in other lanes too?
I believe she will be solely used for top lane, but there will be those niche circumstances where she is played in mid lane just to counter those pesky melee assassins like the Zed, like the Talon, and things like that, because she is really good against those 1v1 melee matchups. So from every now and then, she might be used in the mid lane, but I would see her majority used in the top lane, like the old Aurelia.
Okay, cool. Now, every character has some kind of passive that makes them unique. What will her passive be?
A brand new passive that Riot has implemented for Aurelia is that she does bonus damage to shields, and that has not been precedented in League of Legends history, actually, for a champion passive to do additional damage to shields. So this is, you know, first of all, awesome to have, because it's a new element that people can play around. Yeah, it's just very new.
Oh, that is really cool. So is she going to be the new designated tank killer?
For now, it seems like she's going to be the new designated everyone killer. She seems pretty strong, in my opinion.
Before the rework, Aurelia was capable of regaining her own health with certain moves. Will she still have that ability?
The old Aurelia, she had her W to give her back some of the health she lost. And now they've actually implemented the W into her Q when she does bonus damage, and she regained some of the damage she dealt with her Q. So, yeah.
Wow, so she can regain health. She can do a lot of damage to tanks. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of mobility. You're right. That is a really overpowered character.
Yeah.
Now, is she going to be like a hybrid character? Is it going to be is she pure ability power, pure attack damage?
As of now, it seems like Aurelia will follow the same build path as the old Aurelia, where you just go Triforce Rush and kind of go very beefy damage, kind of bruiser type of build. So it will mostly be oriented towards attack damage. And there was actually a moment in the public test server where Aurelia actually did scale pretty well on AP.
Wow.
And she would just one-shot people with her ulti combo. So Riot realized, maybe this is not healthy for the game, so they tune down the scaling a little bit. So if everything goes for what the patch note says and it is released, then Aurelia will probably be just attack damage based.
Oh, yeah, because she doesn't need any more help, right? Now, what are some champions that are getting nerfed this time around?
So for the new patch, there's actually a couple significant changes. So first of all, junglers that have been prominent in the meta, such as Sejuani, is getting nerfed. Her stun duration on her E is getting reduced, but it's not to that significant spectrum, so it's all right. I believe she'll still be seeing some play. And regarding to Shaco, his damage actually got nerfed a lot with the bonus ratio on his Q, so that got nerfed. And Swain, actually, one of the most top-tier top picks right now, and even in mid lane, his Q got nerfed with the cooldown being increased and his damage being decreased as well.
I'm surprised with Swain. What characters are getting buffs?
So there's a lot of characters getting buffed compared to the nerf ones this patch, actually. So a few significant ones are Gragas, Elise, well, LeBlanc's getting changed, Lux is getting buffed, Malphite's getting buffed, Nocturne's getting buffed, and a whole lot of assassins as well.
Now, I noticed that they're changing LeBlanc. They're, like, doing a whole thing to her. How much will her moveset change in this patch?
They essentially reverted the new LeBlanc to the old LeBlanc, and she's going to function pretty much the same way that she did before, where she dashes in, tries to one-shot somebody, and then dashes out instantaneously. And obviously, the numbers with the damages are going to be, you know, tweaked up and down regarding her performance when she goes live, but overall, everyone could expect the same old LeBlanc that they saw and loved before, so yeah.
Now, I noticed while I was playing that the towers and minions, they now do emotes. Why did they implement this?
Oh, that's an April Fool's joke from Riot Games, actually. When you die to minions or, you know, monsters, you usually feel bad because that shouldn't really happen, right? So they put champion emotes or other emotes into minions to make you even more rad that you're actually dying to minions. So I'm not sure if they're going to remove this completely or just keep it for the time being, but yeah, for now it's just a April Fool's joke kind of thing.
It was funny, I got into an argument with someone because they thought I was trying to tilt them, and I'm like, I swear I didn't do an emote. So it was pretty funny for a while. Are they getting any buffs, the minions? Are they going to get any buffs this patch?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So what's interesting is that I believe that they wanted to make the waves, or more specifically, the cannon minions more significant, right? Because right now, as of this state, when a cannon minion comes, you're not really changing the way you play or how you push the wave. You just, oh, I just need two or three more auto attacks on a minion. And then, you know, the cannon minion's done. I just push the wave, whatever, right? So they made it so cannon minions are much more stronger, as in they have increased health gain per three waves. And they also have increased base health as well. And, well, alongside the buff, they actually increase the gold value, so you get more rewarded for killing a harder minion. And the other minions, such as melee minions or caster minions, have also been changed, but not with the health-wise, but the amount of gold you gain. So previously, melee minions and caster minions actually didn't have that much of a difference regarding gold prices when you kill them, which should be relevant since melee minions are harder to kill and I have more health and they do more damage. So they tweaked it a little bit. So melee minions now give 21 gold per minion and casters give a little bit less now with 14.
Over the weekend in the North American LCS, 100 Thieves took on Clutch Gaming for a spot at the spring finals in Miami. The match came down to the wire. And as a recap, could you tell me what do you think was the most defining play in that match?
That's a good question. Well, I wish I could say, you know, 100 Thieves landed a five-man ultimate, wiped the team, and ended the game. But it was more down to the very minuscule plays that actually defined the match. And that was when Cody-san, actually, the ADC for 100 Thieves, was untouched throughout the last team fight, and he could just dish out so much damage, doing almost 1,000 damage per auto. So it was really just up to him not being untouched and doing what ADCs love to do, you know, auto attack.
Absolutely, you're right about that. Who will 100 Thieves face in the spring finals?
They will face Team Liquid in the finals from Miami.
So, in your opinion, who do you think is the favorite to win?
I would say Team Liquid.
Why do you think Team Liquid?
I think Team Liquid just because League really comes down to one aspect when it comes to a team winning, which is the macro play of how a team can rotate through lane to lane or control objectives or try to, you know, outmaneuver or out-rotate the enemy team, right? And Team Liquid is, in my opinion, by far the best team that does this in North America. So that's kind of why I'm favoring Team Liquid over 100 Thieves.
One of the things I like about 100 Thieves is they seem to be a little bit more late-game kind of play style. Mm-hmm. They kind of hold out throughout the whole thing. You don't think that's going to come back and bite Team Liquid at all?
It might be if it does go into the late game. But the thing is with Team Liquid's play style is that they're very heavily oriented with early to mid game. And they're also, you know, I'm not saying they're bad at the late game. They're also really good at the late game as well. So when it comes to the series, actually, I'm just afraid that 100 Thieves cannot keep up with the fast rotations and the pressure that Team Liquid is actually applying in the early to mid game. So that's kind of why.
Now, I've noticed that everybody's been playing Swain in mid lane. Do you think that this is just a flavor of the month kind of thing, or this is going to be the new type of mid laner?
I believe it's kind of like the flavor of the month thing, because right now, actually, teams are really looking for champions that can take the hits in the front line, absorb as much damage as possible, and not die, right? And that's why they all use all the tanky, beefy champions in the top lane, like Sion, or Maokai, things like that, so they can absorb as much damage, you know, apply pressure and not die. And Swain does this exact same thing, but he does a lot more damage. He doesn't do AD, but he scales off AP, which is really important. And he can, you know, have access to items like Hourglass, which gives him even more survivability. So because of that, I think teams are saying, hey, you know, we need a frontline, someone that can do damage and not die. Swain is the perfect fit. So in this, you know, little meta right now, Swain is the perfect fit, and that's why, you know, everyone is using Swain right now. And maybe things will change in the next month, you know, regarding to the meta, but for, you know, this meta right now and for this month, Swain is the pick to go.
Now, one of the upsets I think is an upset because I happen to like Cloud9. TSM and Cloud9, they got knocked out of the spring series. Are you as shocked as I am?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I was not expecting both TSM and Cloud9 to be knocked out of the spring series.
Where did it go wrong?
In my opinion, I mean, TSM has been improving ever since the split has started, and they didn't have that much time to really synergize together as a team. And I think they just didn't have enough time to reach that threshold where they could really surpass other teams and really, you know, have the TSM performance that everyone is really expecting, right? And because of the lack of time, they didn't really have that the same TSM kind of feeling, and they fell down a little bit, and that's why they got eliminated, in my opinion. I'm 100% sure when it comes to the summer split that TSM will show up as easily one of the top three teams. And regarding to Cloud9, I think it really comes down to the rookie top laner, actually, for Cloud9, Licorice, I believe. And he really had a hard time, in my opinion, when it came to the whole best of five format, where teams can really take advantage of inexperienced players and really shut down either their comfort picks or how they really go throughout the game, right? Usually in best of ones, it's really easy for an inexperienced player to match up against the experienced players because the team can really back up what they lack and really help what they are good at, right? But with best of fives, this becomes significantly harder. And it also comes down to mental fortitude as well because, you know, Cloud9's top laner does not have that much experience in competitive play. His mentality might also be an issue. If one game he didn't play that, you know, well, he might affect him severely in the next game. So I think those are a couple of the main issues why TSM and Cloud9 actually got knocked out for the spring series.
Well, James, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this. I really appreciate it. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You guys can go check out InventGlobal.com. We have everything and anything that regards, you know, games or even esports as well. So you guys can check it out that way. And yeah, if you like not only League of Legends, but other games as well, we have a plethora of games options. So make sure you guys check us out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.